And now usually what gets us frustrated, anxious, fearful, and doubting God is we can't explain what He's doing. Now you think about this. If you could explain God, then friend, you'd have a reason to doubt Him. But it's in His infinite wisdom, in His perfect love. We cannot explain Him. We have no legitimate reason for doubting because He is an infinite, all-wise God who always knows the right thing and the best thing to do in your life and mine every single solitary time with absolutely no exception whatsoever. Now somebody says, well, but if that's true, but what about all this, that, and the other? And so I want you to turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Now, let me tell you what 9, 10, 11 are all about. Because this verse toward the end of the 11th chapter of Romans is Paul's answer to just what we're talking about. God, I don't understand this. I can't understand this. What are you up to? Now, listen carefully before we read that verse. Look, God, listen, God will show us His ways. That is, He is willing to show us His ways, He does things. The thing that He does not tell us He's going to do is to show us why. He doesn't give us an explanation. His ways, for example, how do you learn the ways of God? Well, as you walk with the Lord and as you obey Him, you see how things work. You see when you do this, this is the way God works. When you do this, this is the way God works. When you turn this way, this is the way God works. So after a while, you begin to learn the ways of God. Now, I know that He'll teach us His ways because the Bible says in the 103rd Psalm that He showed Moses His ways. But the nation of Israel, the people, He showed them His actions. The nation of people, they only saw what God did. Well, you and I can see what God does. But He says He revealed to Moses His ways. That is the way God operates, the principles by which He operates. So God will show us His ways. Under no obligation is He to tell me why and to explain the details. Now, that being the case, look at this. In the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapters of Romans, what Paul is referring to primarily and talking about here is the nation of Israel. That God chose them, that He grafted them into the vine. And He talks about some things in the 9th, 10th, and 11th chapter about the Hebrews and how they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ and God chose the Lord Jesus Christ and how all this happened and, you know, why God allowed all these things to happen. And so what does Paul do? Paul says, now, here's God's explanation of how this happened. No, this is Paul's answer. Look, if you will, at the 33rd verse of Romans chapter 11. The 33rd verse says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and unfathomable His ways. Now, here's Paul's conclusion. Paul says, here's what God did. Here's the ways of God. He allowed these Jews to reject the Lord Jesus Christ in order to involve and to pull the Gentiles into the gospel. Now, Paul says, why did God do something like that? Here's what he says. He says, oh, listen, he says, oh, the riches of His wisdom and knowledge, how unsearchable are His judgment, His unfathomable His ways. You know what Paul said? He said, I can't explain it either. When somebody says, explain to me, now you just explain to me predestination. He says, well, I'll tell you what, turn to 9, 10, 11 chapters of Romans and see what Paul said. You know what Paul said? Here's what he said. He said, chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. Next thing he says, whosoever will may come. How do you put those two together? How do you put being chosen in Him before the foundation of the world and whosoever will may come? How do you put them together? You know what? When you and I get to heaven and only then, now I can give you some explanations and this, that, and the other, but the real truth is he says that some things He's reserved for Himself. And so God's not in the business of explaining why. Somebody says, well, now, wait a minute now. There's some things I need to know why. No, you don't. You say, well, how can I have peace if I don't know why? Here's the way you have peace when you don't know why. You listening? It's real simple. You trust Him. That's the way you have peace when you don't know why. You trust Him. Listen, if He is a God of goodness and only operates in your life and my life according to His goodness and His love, and He's infinite in His wisdom, then I must believe that it is infinitely wise and good for me that I don't understand and can't explain all the things that God's up to. Listen, He is infinite in His wisdom and we are finite. So we can only see certain things that God allows us to see. We're not going to be equal with God. There's no way for us to be equal in our understanding. And here's Paul, the man who had the greatest revelation of who Jesus is in the whole Christian life of anybody who has ever existed on the face of this earth, apart from the Lord Jesus himself. And the man who best interprets for all of us said, when I examine the deep things of God, what I have to conclude is, oh, how unsearchable are his ways, how absolutely fathomless are the judgments of God. There's some things I will not understand the reason why. I may understand the ways in which God is bringing about, or the ways it happened, or the ways he operates in situations and circumstances, and I may be able to understand some of the whys that it appears to me that God may allow certain things. But ultimately, he has reserved that final judgment for himself. Now, so we said, first of all, the first awesome truth that you and I need to understand about the very nature of our Lord and the fact of these three basic essential truths. The first one is what? God is perfect in his love. Secondly, he is infinite in his wisdom. Now the third one is this, listen. He is completely sovereign in his control. He is completely sovereign in his control. He has absolute, total control and authority over everything in all of his creation. Now, all you and I know is about this globe and all the planets and constellations and galaxies and all the things that the scientists that tell us out there. What we don't know is what's beyond all that. We don't know how many worlds God may have created out there. So don't limit God to what you see and what you hear. What I'm saying is this, that the sovereignty of God means that he is absolutely, unquestionably, he is in absolute, total control of every single solitary thing on the face of this earth. Now, I want you to remember this carefully. If a single event can happen in God's universe outside of his power, you and I can no longer trust God. If a single solitary event can happen beyond his control, we can no longer trust him because we don't know what's going to happen. If he is not in absolute control, we don't know what's going to happen. The reason you and I can trust him is he is sovereign. He is not only perfect in his love toward us, infinitely wise about us, but he is absolutely in perfect and complete control over every single solitary thing. Now, there are a lot of folks who don't believe that. And the problem with them not believing that is this. They're the ones who are the losers, and they're wrong. They're wrong. If somebody says, well, God's not in control of everything, why is God interested in these things? He is absolutely interested in every single thing because every single event falls under the category of Almighty God. Let me give you an example. If you read, for example, well, let's turn there. Turn to the 10th chapter of Matthew for a moment. 10th chapter of Matthew. Now, this is how absolutely sovereignly in control God is, and the fact that he knows every single solitary thing. And you say, well, now, why would that, don't put that kind of stuff on. Now, here's what we say. We say, God doesn't have time for that. My friend, God is not limited or affected by time. Look at this verse, 10th chapter of Matthew, 29th verse. Are not two sparrows sold for a cent, and yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father? Now notice, let me tell you what he didn't say. He did not say two robins, two bluebirds, two blue jays. He said the most insignificant of all birds, sparrow. Now here's what he said. He says, God knows all about every single sparrow that falls. He says it falls under his control. Now friend, think about this. If your God and mine is so absolutely sovereignly in control of everything that he also allows every single sparrow to fall. And that's what Jesus said. Now, it's not somebody, that's what Jesus said. Then what is it in your life, as important as we are as human beings, that he is not absolutely, totally concerned about and in control of? Well, let's move to something far more important than that one.